Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome, dear listener, once again to another episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, episode 11, season 5 of the Guitar Nerds podcast, and the first podcast since I can remember. Well, not since I can remember, since Gear of the Year. God damn it. Since Gear of the Year, where we've had three people, well, more than two people on a podcast. We've got three people. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Matt Knight.
Hello, Mr. Joe.
And JD Short.
Hello, both gentlemen.
Hello, indeed.
Gentleman.
Ah, oh, damn. Mm. I totally forgot. I was going to introduce you as Jim Beam Long and Rug Day.
I mean, that's why we write our own dad jokes, everyone. The story used to be when I was going by JD is that my dad wanted to name me Jack Daniels because he says my mom got him drunk and that's how I got here, you know. So that's why I'm called JD.
Oh
well,
yeah. Dad wanted to call me Guy Fawkes, so I'd be Guy Fawkes Knight, which would be a great British joke once a year.
Yeah.
That would have been good. I see that Jessica Biel has failed to name her son Batmo.
Oh.
That would be excellent. That would be excellent.
I do feel like she missed a trick there. Anyway, dear listener, hello and welcome. Welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. Mm. I'm here. Matt and JD are here. This week... the name of this episode is Guitar Shows and New Gear. And my goodness, I realize, dear listener, I feel like the last 5-6 shows have all been about guitar shows. And also, we're not that far off of having done a two-parter about NAMM, but it really is the season of guitar shows. So since last week, we had the alternative guitar show that JD and I went to. The week before was obviously the Pedal Expo, the Stompbox Deli, whatever you want to call it, which I covered a little bit last week with the Tone Mob's Blake Weiland on the podcast, but we didn't speak about it that much. So I want to hear from both JD and Matt about their experiences at the Pedal Expo. And of course, JD and I will talk a bit about our experience at the Alternative Guitar Show, some of the brands we were checking out there, and some of the things that we think you, dear listener, should be checking out in detail. Also on this podcast, because Matt, you've been off, I guess you've had a week on, week off at the moment.
Yeah, I think so, somewhere like that.
Matt's been adding cryptic things to the document, dear listener, our podcast document about new surprises and potential new things and things that he's hunting down. I feel like Matt's in a real buying mood, so we're going to be talking about some of those things, exciting new bits and bobs that he's going to be adding to his collection, which you should be adding to your collection as well. Before we get into any of that, though, I'll kick things off with the question of the week, which I was kind of taking from the Facebook group. Levi Cooper on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, he said, "Hey nerds, which of the multi-effects floor units do you think is best for making wacky sounds? I don't play much guitar and mainly just like to mess around and make weird noises. Are there any that stand out as having more flexibility with that sort of thing?" And I was kind of thinking, well, you know, sort of in the past, I guess the go-to for that sort of thing would be the Line 6 Helix range, just because, you know, they modeled all the Strymon stuff. So if you want sort of crazy sounds, they've got a whole bunch of them on there.
And obviously all the legacy synth, well, FM4, DL4, yeah. FM4 especially, has got the sort of madness, as it were, yeah, that Line 6 generally provide.
That's it. I mean, actually, I saw someone answer on this. Probably the most affordable thing you can get is an M5. Because I imagine a Line 6 M5 still goes for about £80. They've really held their price point, haven't they, since they must be a decade old now.
I mean, it looks like you can still buy them new.
Really?
Looks like some dealers are as low as £119. So you can still buy them new, or you can buy them secondhand. Quick look around, about £70.
They've been that price for years.
I feel like I looked recently for an M5 because it's that sort of thing. The M5 was always this is my one pedal to have at rehearsal or to throw in my spares bag, like on tour or whatever. So it was like, whatever breaks, this can do it at least for a week.
Yeah.
When I was looking at them, they were well more expensive than I thought. Like, I've seen like some like around £150 or such, but there weren't loads available in the UK, at least when I was looking, and I can't be bothered with, you know, customs and import charges. So
Exactly. How much is an HX1 though?
281.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well,
I think they were 229. And I must say, it is a awesome unit. And loads of people we talked about it when it launched, and loads of people were really angry about it. And I'm like, but why? I just didn't understand the kind of hate that it was, because those people were like, oh, it needs to have three simultaneous effects and needs to be the same price. And I'm like, you can't have it all. But if you want three simultaneous effects, you can buy an HX Stomp.
Yeah. People wanted it to be the Stomp in a smaller chassis for half the price. I think
it was never going to be that. But I would say if you want the more modern Line 6 power tool, then the HX1 for me, because it's got all the legacy stuff in it, as has the M5, but it's got all the new stuff in it as well. It's basically got every Helix or HX effect in it in one box, hence HX1, but it just really does cover everything. And I like the ramp control. You can do some kind of crazy stuff with the ramp control. And I also, for me, the one thing I've been messing around with a lot, which is not on the M5, is the looper, but not the standard looper. It's like the, you might remember what it's called, Joe, but it's the kind of shuffle looper. So you can basically record a phrase and then it just basically plays back random parts of that.
I feel like that's the sort of thing that Chase Bliss are charging £500 for on a pedal. Admittedly, I'm not, you know, the Chase Bliss pedal is well worth it. They do crazy, brilliant stuff. But it's the sort of super innovative, mad thing that you expect Chase Bliss to be thinking of, not Line 6 on a super budget pedal.
Mm. Well, and it's the kind of effect that you can... It allows you to sound like a creative genius by doing basically nothing, you know, which is really invaluable. Yes. Something weird is like,
this is what I love. You know, you run that into the microcosm, basically don't need to do anything.
And then a blooper. Genius. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is it. But it is very cool. I would say that's, definitely one of my picks of the moment. But the M5 is insane value.
I've got an M9 at a friend's in like Manchester, and I messaged him recently about like getting it back, and he was like, yeah man, if you just arrange collection. And I'm like, god damn it, I lent it to you, dude. Send me back my M9. But we'll see. Hopefully that will materialize.
Struggling musicians, Joe. Struggling musicians.
Tell me about it. The M. Do you remember when the M13 was the latest thing? Do you remember that, dear listener, as well? Like it was unbelievably huge and just ridiculous. The fact that many switches were being controlled off of one tiny scribble strips screen at the top.
Well, and it's like, it looked like one of those old like Bradley boxes, you know, stuff you'd see in like late 80s, early 90s of like custom housed everything. And you're just like, oh, this, you're just like, or it looks like you're a telephone operator from like the 20s or something like that. Which, yeah.
I think the cool thing was, not, you know, obviously Omar used an M9 for a bit, but it was, I guess it was like this giant, really cool multi-effects thing before the, I guess, I don't know if Helix was after that. I think Helix was probably But it was kind of very different to everything else on the market at that point. And obviously it brought in all their really popular things together. But I still think, you know, for secondhand, the HX effects is still one of the great things I think I would have on a pedal board. I know we were talking about it before, Joe. I was like, why wouldn't you have an HX effects? You've got eight buttons, six scribble scripts, all of the HX effects on it. And they're like, you can pick them up secondhand for like £300.
Yeah. You know? So that's the crazy one, because the Stomp has held value. You know, the Helix and the LT have held their value. But the HX effects, yeah, it goes for like, yeah, I mean, if you really hunt, you can find them going for $250, you know, if you're sort of really hunting around, which is just crazy low for what that pedal is offering. And that is like a whole pedal board. The sounds on it are very high quality. You can do all the crazy stuff and all the normal stuff. It's got great routing options, even if they're not that easy to control. It's a good unit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But I guess you're going to talk about something else, aren't you, Jack?
I am, sorry, yeah. I was segueing into the fact that I've been getting back heavily into the Boss GT. This was kind of inspired, actually, by something we're going to talk about with JD as well on this podcast, because JD was doing he wants to do like a Boss-only board at the moment. We'll get on to sort of that. He's been collecting up things for a Boss-only board. And I was like, yeah, I want to get back into to the GT 1000 core that I've got, and build some sounds with that. And I thought, sort of, because I've been spending some time with it, the thing about the Boss GT stuff is all the effects are relatively they're functional, sensible, good sounding. And the way the routing works, it's maybe not as fluid as the Helix stuff if you want to build like ridiculously crazy things, but it can be done. And the way it splits blocks out, and the fact that it gives you four different delay blocks that you can assign lots of different things to without ever worrying about running over your DSP, I found that actually once you really get to know the GT core, you can build these brilliant, wonderful, big, ethereal soundscape style tones. So I thought, kind of just in answer to Levi's question, we'll do the sample of the week, and I'll demonstrate a crazy sound sample that you can get with the GT 1000 core. I actually really like the way that works, because where something like Helix or Neural DSP will give you a completely blank palette, which is, you know, great, and if you want to build a dual line of thing, if you want to build one amplifier, you know, going out to one rig, another amp going out to another that's maybe got reverb and delay on it, if you want to create stereo rigs and things like that, you can do, because it's a blank palette. But with Boss GT, it kind of has that built in its effects path, and you can just choose to initiate or not that sort of second path and then edit all the things on there. So I was trying to make like more three-dimensional guitar sounds by having something like a twin on one side and having something. I've no idea, what's the boutique amp inspired by? It's just called boutique on the
it's kind
thing.
Of it's kind of difficult. Fun fact, I named that.
Really?
yeah Boutique, Natural, Supreme, Juggernaut, Diamond, and something else. I did all the names. I also named Ed. The technology that's in it is my name, not my actual name, obviously.
That's real name.
I came
Ed.
Up with that. Boutique is not really one particular amplifier, but I always thought of it as kind of the, I don't know really, dare I say, kind of I wouldn't say Dumble, but that kind of like high end, kind of pristine, maybe like a Two Rock type thing. But we never really put a specific name to lots of those models because
they're not models. They're inspired tonal characteristics.
I think as soon as you put like Vox, and then everyone's like, that doesn't sound like a Vox. And then you're just like, well, you know, make up your own mind. So we kind of leave it a little bit more open, which I prefer. And also, you know, it's great that Line 6 have, here's a 58 Tweed champ and here's a 59 Tweed champ. And it's like, but you would have never tried either. So you've got no reference point whatsoever. So I think making it a little bit more, I don't want to use the word generic, but a little bit more open to interpretation, I think just kind of just lets you create your own sound without prejudice, I guess.
yeah, sure. Absolutely. Well, yeah, it's a really interesting way to work with amplifiers, to see the effects chain laid out before you with everything kind of in the right place so that you don't make as many mistakes as you might do. I mean, you can still move blocks around, but it basically says, here's how these blocks should be placed to make something that's really good and usable, and then you sort of mess around with it from there. But anyway, I'll play the sound sample just to show you like a big ethereal thing I did with the GT Core. The start of this sound sample, because I'm playing and we're going to be doing the giveaway very soon, dear listener. I'm playing the Vintage Pro Shop Guitar Nerds Jazzmaster that was listener designed by you lot. I'm playing that, so I put a little bit on the start where I'm just playing it through like I think it's just the natural amplifier on the GT Core with a little bit of reverb, and maybe a little bit of slapback as well, just to sort of show you what the guitar sounds like. I just use the P90 in the neck, actually, for this one, because I really like the sound of that. And then it goes into some crazy ethereal stuff. So here it is.
Over far too soon. I was digging that. You know, it's interesting because one of the guys in my team in my day job spent a lot of time dialing in. He's really into like kind of big ethereal like soundtracky type sounds, and spent loads of time with the GT1000 Core building some patches. Joe, I'll have to share them so you can dial them in. But
that'd be great.
There's so many things that you can do with it that you just don't realize. And I think the two secrets for me that do elevate a Boss product, or I guess give some of the Boss ones like GT more than some of the other ones, is one, the assign features. So you can get certain parameters to control other parameters. So like there's an internal waveform processor that allows you to assign effectively like a sine wave or a triangle wave to a particular parameter. And that could be over a length of time. So you could say get the delay time to modulate up and down over a period of time, which is quite cool. The other thing as well, which is also something that I wanted to talk about from the Stompbox Deli, but it also has a crossover function. So it's like a dynamics function. So you can set up chains of effects, and then depending on how hard you play, different effects would come in. So if you really want to, you know, you could play really hard and it just be drive and compression, and then as soon as you're sort of playing more softly, it's sort of delays and reverb. So that's quite cool, certainly if you want to add in other effects as well.
No, it did that. That's awesome.
We've actually been doing that for years in multi-effects, and it wasn't something that I even really thought about until I saw some of the patches that a guy on my team had made. But yeah, there's some effectively dynamic, not effects blocks, but dynamic chains. So you can actually say, you know, depending on how you play or whatever, it'll actually go between two effects chains. You can have up to four parallel chains. Obviously, putting stuff in parallel allows for a bunch of different options, and as well as you can do sub outs, so you can send certain effects to certain outputs and other effects to other outputs as well, which is quite cool. So yeah, it's a real, I wouldn't say it's a hidden gem, but I definitely think if you want to spend the time with it, there's loads of stuff in there that you can do that I don't think would be necessarily obvious at first.
No, yeah, definitely. Anything with a relatively small screen, mostly scrolling-based control, and 3 foot switches means that you've got to learn the product to get the most out of it. But I have found just over the last couple of weeks, really taking the time with it, which maybe, you know, I'd stuck to presets before, you know, and not deep dive with the pedal enough, actually just, you know, really sitting with it and trying out stuff. It's a really great creative tool. Whilst we're on that subject, though, JD, let's pivot across to your boss board. You've been collecting bits for this. So you mentioned this the other day to me. You want to build a completely boss pedal board.
Well, it was also just because it's those wacky ideas you get whilst going to guitar shows. And it was just like, and it was the thing where it was at the Stompbox, Delhi, as we're calling that, like that Stompbox Expo, that I was at the boss booth, and I was just looking at everything and thinking about, you know, that all I really, what I really like at the end of the day is all boss pedals. And I was like, I need an all boss board. And I was like, I think I could probably do it with the setup I'm currently using. Like, I have to do a couple, swaps and replacements and things, but it's like, yes, yeah, it's pretty good. So I just got the power driver that came in today, which is sort of the...
That is a niche boss pedal.
Yeah,
it's very niche.
And it's also, because I think that was the thing. It's like, I've always, for what I like on bass, I've always sort of struggled with the sort of standard complement of boss pedals to really get what I want, or they always sort of...
Because it's the bass driver or the ODB3. The ODB3 is a very 90s trebly high gain thing, and the bass driver is very scoopy.
Yeah.
So you've got to like one of those two sounds.
Yeah, so the power driver is great because it's a bit more of that oomph, sort of woolly, kind of like wall of sound sort of drive, which is what I really like. And I was playing through it today, and I was pleasantly surprised at how clear the top end is as well.
Guitar Nerds is sponsored by Stringjoy Guitar Strings, the world's first true guitar string custom shop. The thing that I love most about Stringjoy is just their attention to detail, their dedication to making their strings the best in the world. And that's a labour-intensive task that they don't shy away from. Stringjoy are also innovative. They're always looking for new ways to make strings better. As guitar players, we've become so used to all the shortfalls of commercially available strings that we stopped even looking for them to be better, last longer, intonate well, easily. Stringjoy bring all of that to every pack of strings they make, and they're available almost as readily as any other generically made guitar string. Stringjoy strings are available at stringjoy.com and at 400-plus dealers across the globe. If your local store doesn't stock Stringjoy yet, ask them to.
Because that's my other thing with a lot of, certainly drives on bass, is that I don't like, I think the treble gets really hissy and really sort of just like harsh in a way that I don't like. But yeah, it's going to be really great. I'm thinking about that basically like OC5, obviously. Yeah, go ahead.
With the power driver, we move on, like I don't really know anything about it other than it's like, is it 80s or 90s, the power driver?
Oh, well, it was, Matt and I were talking about this earlier. It's like, was it 9 months in 1997? I think it was.
It ran for. And it's the same color as a DS1, right?
Yeah, it's very
or it's very similar. It's not the same, but it's very similar.
Of course.
It is that sort of vibrant orange,
right.
Orangey color, I'd say. But yeah, it looks, I mean, it's going to be great. I'm really excited to have like a full boss board.
What is the deal with the power driver? Like, what is it supposed to be?
It is basically a big muff.
Oh, right. It's a fuzz, not a drive.
Yeah.
It's basically a big muff. Well, big muff, you know, is quite a tight sounding. I always hate calling big muff a fuzz because it sort of is, but I always think of it as like, fuzz for me is always like fuzz facing a bit more spitty and a bit more raspy.
Yeah.
Big muffs are sort of a little bit more tighter and full on, but basically it's a big muff, but it's just got bass and treble control. So it's very, very mid heavy, but you can kind of alter the EQ a little bit more
The controls are fat and muscle. So, yes. you know, that's because it was late 90s, you know.
Oh, right. Like, so boss will look into DOD for.
Well, I guess so. I don't know if that was obviously, can't say that was the reason why it didn't last very long, but it just wasn't very popular. And yeah, those controls are not very obvious at all. It is.
The thing is, like, imagine some other variant of this where it's like Splunk and Gaboosh and like all sorts of just like ridiculous names. Like,
a weird time for pedals. That's the thing. I think you were saying, JD, a weird time for pedals.
Yeah, it's got really odd time in music because it was, you know, grunge had broken. And so, like, all the sort of old vintage junk, basically, that you could get at your local shop for no money became all the great pedals. That's like big muffs. You know, everyone had big muffs. Everyone had basically whatever Kurt put on his board, you know, like everything. And it's just really great. But I never really played through one. And then I decided that this was definitely the drive I was going to build my board around. It's going to work. It's going to be good.
There you go. And you were saying an OC5. That's your other.
Yeah. That's the other one I sort of got. So I have several octave pedals, you know, and you know, we've talked about this quite a bit. Like, I've always sort of struggled with that sort of OC2, OC5 sound as not really being my thing. Cause I like it when the octave sounds as identical to my bass sound as possible, but also not digital. So it's why I love the EBS octave and then also a lot of the Mutrons. But I do really like what I'm using it for now is much more of a sort of like a Moog or like a synthy version of that. And so I was like, well, this would be great. And I've been using, you know, like the KMA Queequeg variants and stuff. And so I think that'll be great. And then I'm going to put the high band flanger on the board.
Yes. Classic. Classic.
Another short-lived classic.
I know.
Best color boss have ever put on a pedal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like just hot mauve or whatever. So I'm going to use that as my sort of main modulation, you know, sort of like, I don't think I'm going to put a chorus on at the moment because I don't really use it all that often, like with zeros, like the band I'm playing with now mostly. And sort of the idea for this too, is I wanted to try to build a more compact board than I have at the moment. Cause it's just one of those things of like small stages and or carrying around a massive board with multiple power supplies and everything at the moment, you know, it's like, I could lighten this by about, you know, 10, 15 pounds and I would feel better about myself, you know, just like schlepping the thing. But go to that. The only thing that I'm struggling to really figure out about replacing is I've been using Digitech Whammy quite a bit at the moment. No surprise since I saw Living Color in December that I'm just constantly on my the Ricochet, which I think is a great pedal, but I'm trying to figure out what I want to do boss wise with that to try to get those. Cause basically all I want is the 2-octave up squeal sort of sound. So I just have to figure out exactly which method I'm going to go with for that.
PS6 is probably PS6, the closest.
Yeah.
It's the S bend, super bend.
Yeah. Yeah. PS2 will do it as well.
Yeah, but I guess you can. PS2 is definitely more of the whammy glitchiness because you can plug an expression pedal in.
Yeah.
But it's way, because I've tried way harder to control. It's just a little bit more annoying to like tune in. Obviously, the great thing about whammy is you just sort of like go to octave and it works. It's like you sort of have to. In fact, I don't think it's even, is it PS2 or is it PS? You might even have to go to PS3 actually for the expression control, if I remember rightly.
I think he does it just with an unlatched, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me, it's like I want to be able to do, because I know the harmonist will do this as well. Like, I think the harmonist does this, right? Is if you just like basically like step and hold, it will do the S bend like on the pedal itself without an expression.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'm going to have to get a Boss expression pedal. You know, and then, you know, which is fine. I have lots of other expression pedals and I only am doing this because it's my new whim that I want to do now. I bought a Spectre and now I just want an all Boss port.
Yeah, I would say if you want more modern PS6, if you want more vintage PS3, PS3 also has the legendary sort of shimmery modes that obviously inspired things like the Rainbow Machine and stuff like that. It just does that kind of thing really well because it sends the pitch shifted audio back into itself, and then you've got the delay, so you can kind of get these really kind of cool weird shimmery things as well, which you can't really get on anything else, and was sort of a bit of an error, I guess, with the that sort of model compared to other ones. So if you want to go more vintage, definitely PS3 is worth hunting out. If you want to go more modern, you could just pick up a PS6, basically.
Yeah, basically it's like I want something to sound like, because like the effect I'm using this for, I don't want it to sound good, you know? That's not what I'm into. It's not like, oh, what a perfect bend. It's like, what a ridiculous noise you just made for half of a second, you know, as like a weird, hey, I'm about to, like, I only use it for weird accents and stuff, like when going into like another part kind of stuff. So I don't know. I'll just have to hunt around and kind of see what I want. But I do appreciate the idea of, or like the ability to just go to any shop or find it online somewhere and go, I'm just buying this, you know? So maybe it will be one of the new ones.
Do you know what? It's funny, isn't it? Because Boss was always that, but now with Boss being more popular than ever, it's secondhand. Like, some of these things are just, it's like we were saying before it started, like you could pick up power drivers for like 40 quid and now they're like 200 quid.
I just looked up the SP1 thinking that because, you know, Boss did that anniversary box set, that surely has driven the price down of the SP1. Nope, they're still £500. It is a Coctoir. It's a Coctoir. That's it.
It's a one band EQ.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. It's a one band EQ. Good luck on your mission. I've built many a Boss board. In fact, on a similar thing for me in terms of, you know, always going back, we've launched so many products, but going back to things that I haven't tried for ages, for my big boards have gone to using a DD500.
Oh, great. Because
there was one specific thing that I've written, because I was like, you know what? I think I was watching that pedal show or something else, and I was like, man, Timeline still sounds good. You know, it sort of sits in that same sort of vein as like DL4. I plugged my DL4 in. I'm like, man, sounds so good. But I needed something that did one specific thing, which was I wanted two delays in one box for dual delays, but you could run them in series or in parallel. And the only thing that does that basically is the DD500, because I've been using the SDE3000, and obviously it's two stereo delays in one box that you can run series or parallel, and it sounds amazing. but it's obviously all based around SDE 3000, and I'm like, I'm willing to compromise some of the algorithmic power of just doing the SDE to do other things. And DD500 obviously has got things like Terra Echo, which is basically the most unique delay I think out there.
Wow.
But it's also got filter delays, shimmer effects, you know, it's got the SDE mode in it, it's got tape mode in it, and because you can run them in series or in parallel, you can do some really mad stuff with it. So for example, I was like, how do I get it to do something like the Therme, Chase Bliss Therme, which is like pitch shifted delay, which is effectively a delay that the clock speed is changing in increments, and that step gives you different delay effects. And you can use the internal waveform I was talking about earlier to modulate the delay time in real time.
That's very cool.
So you can basically, there's a delay preset on there that goes between 1 millisecond and 8 milliseconds to basically give you almost like a step sequencer. You can then set the control pedal to play a note, freeze that, and then play with like a shimmer delay over the top, all from one delay unit. And I'm like, the fact that you can then control that via MIDI, I was like, absolute, it's just amazing. We've had that product out for so long, and you just sort of forget how much it can do. But just scratched the surface this weekend. I'm like, I should have been using one of these ages ago. So that's been the kind of newest acquisition from a pedal front for me. But again, to do the same thing as just like look at some of those options that perhaps were originally overlooked, because yeah, there's a huge legacy with things like Strymon Timeline. And even, you know, when we talk about Meris, the Meris delay,
the LVX, yeah, and the Mercury X reverb that I've,
you know, done. And that's got some crazy stuff in it.
Unbelievable. Unbelievably good, those Meris things.
Yeah.
Me and Blake did a bit of a deep dive on the Meris X last week, just because I recently got one.
He loves it.
He obviously loves that pedal.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really good, the Meris stuff. They do a fantastic job of just great quality stereo time-based effects.
Mm. So it's just amazing what you can do and be creative with one box. And obviously there's great pedals out there that, you know, like the Microcosm, that do loads and loads of stuff, and the algorithms are sort of already there to kind of sound amazing straight out of the box. And then there's some things, you know, going all the way back to the GT Core, that you sort of have to work at, but there's some real nuggets in there when you spend the time.
Exactly. Because I'd pretty much, my GT Core was just built basically to be a bass amp. That's how it had a great sounding compressor. I had it so one set of outs could go to the front of house with a cab sim, and one set of outs could go to an amplifier with just a preamp on them, and, you know, just a nice sounding drive that I could bring in and out. That was all I was using the Core for, and there's just so much more that it will do. So I'm glad I'm sort of deep diving up.
Guitar Nerds is sponsored by iZotope and Native Instruments, two companies who provide the bulk of the recording and editing tools used by Guitar Nerds. If you have a home studio, or if you're thinking about getting into demo recording from home, then iZotope and Native Instruments provide the tools that you need to make premium quality recordings with ease and with virtually no equipment other than your guitar and laptop. iZotope make all the voice editing and audio repair tools that I use for the podcast each week, and Native Instruments Guitar 7 is one of the best, most comprehensive collections of virtual effects and guitar amplifiers available anywhere. Use discount code NERDS10 on any product in the iZotope and Native Instruments catalog for 10% off their fantastic range of tools.
Matt, let's talk about, was the DD500 the big thing, or have you got another thing that
I've got another thing, but go on. Maybe I should wait for the other thing. Surprise you, Joe. But we should probably, maybe we can talk a little bit about, well, we can talk about that. I have got something else new from the guitar world. So I was sent, from our good friend Dan over at Chapman, sent me a ML3 Pro Modern to check out. We saw one at the Birmingham Guitar Show. Because of course they make a pink one. I can't remember what, I think the color is coral.
I'm just bringing it up.
It's basically, you wouldn't really tell from looking at it in pictures, but it's actually like a pink sparkle.
Is it? Wow. It just looks like a very satin pink from this one. For listeners, explain what the guitar is.
So it is basically their T-style, let's say T-style guitar. That's the ML3 shape. The Pro ones have all of the upgraded specs. So to run you through very, very quickly, the upgrades are things like hip shot tuners, roasted maple neck. You've also then got, where's the other bits on there? The electronics front. So Seymour Duncan Pegasus humbucker in the bridge, Seymour Duncan sentient humbucker in the neck. You've got a 5-way super switch. So that does all of the kind of splits and full humbucking. So you've got bridge humbucker, neck, outer coil, neck and bridge, neck humbucker and bridge outer coil, and neck humbucker. So loads of sort of really nice options on that. Built-in career, I think. And then also stainless steel frets. Dan was like, look, we normally set them up when they come over and before we send them out, but for speed, I'm just going to send it to you straight from the factory. And I'm like, it's absolutely fine. It's like straight out of the box. I don't think they'd even opened it since it had shipped from, you know, the factory. And I'm like, it's perfect.
Really?
Such a great guitar for, believe it or not, all of those specs. They are
999 British pounds.
Which is just mad, really. I just think for such a lot of guitar for the money, does the rock thing, does the clean thing. The pickups aren't like crazy high output, right, but they do obviously work with a lot of gain. Feels amazing. I mean, all of those sort of satin roasted necks, which are the kind of, I wouldn't say the in thing, but obviously lots of guitars are coming out of factories with that.
Definitely.
They've got rolled fingerboard edges, so it feels really comfortable to play straight out of the box. But it's just so much guitar for the money. So much guitar for the money. I was talking to someone else about this, and as much as, you know, I've played Fenders for years and stuff like that, you sort of go, man, £1,000 gets you so much guitar. It really gets you so much guitar.
Yeah.
So I've been enjoying that. It's been the main guitar on my stand. I would pick it up and show you, but I think actually the lighting in here is not really going to show it off, but it is amazing. Amazing guitar for the money. Do a range of really cool colors as well. They've not just gone, here's a black one.
Really nice. They do a really nice habanero orange. There's looks like a hot blue and a liquid teal satin. I can kind of get behind this. It's straight colors. One of the things I don't really like are those when you've got like a through wood color or any bursts that aren't sunburst or silver burst. You know, I can't get behind. And that's a real backbone of Chapman stuff. They also do a lot of poplars, a lot of burls. Mm. A lot of the things that are just a little bit too fancy for me. But this is just simple, straight colors. They're all nice, tasteful colors. This range is great. And, at £1,000, that really seems like a pretty feature-packed guitar.
Yeah.
Great, like, just a great pedal platform guitar, like, for any situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So basically, that's the ML3 Pro Modern. They also do an ML3 Modern, which is slightly cheaper, different hardware. And then they also do an ML3 Traditional, which is T-style, but with different pickups. So more of a single coil, or P90 single coil. Right. So, yeah, it's just a great range of options because they do similar colors in the ML3 Pro Traditional, and you get sort of brass saddles, you get Seymour Duncan pickups, two single coils. So I think if you're down more of the sort of rock or high gain route, this is probably a better option.
Right.
But straight out of the box, set up with tens, really, really nice. Can't really fault it, to be honest. Great guitar.
Really good. Really
good.
Yeah,
so I've been playing around with that in my quest to spend Joe Branton's hard-earned money and use up my guitar,
year, isn't it?
Use up my guitar nerd's credits. So I've been hunting around a lot. And this is just a seriously good contender. It's a really, really good guitar. I think the difficult thing is, you know, all of us on this podcast will probably relate to. It's just like once you've sort of got, and this is going to sound terrible, but once you've sort of got one of everything, You know, once you've covered a telly, and once you've covered a Strat, and once you've covered something with two humbuckers, and like, where else do you go for something different? Almost the same, but different, if you know what I mean. You sort of...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You know, because I was like, oh man, there's some great Strats out there secondhand. I'm like, I don't really want another Strat. And it's like, oh, another telly. And I thought, it's like, I've already got a telly that I really like. So I've been sort of looking around for a guitar that fills a different gap. Yeah.
It's nice to look at those other companies, like people like Reverend and Chapman, people who are making something that's not, we're not talking about Strandberg here. These aren't crazy off the beaten track, but they're you know, something a bit different that's just well-built and a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think I might have found something actually just this afternoon, and this will please one listener, maybe two for sure. But I have found a secondhand Manson MD2 Mikey Demas right-handed in black, and it's one of the British-built ones.
Wow!
Yeah.
So Flame Maple Neck, locking tuners. Has got his sort of signature psychopath pickups in. I mean, obviously the sort of satin black with the torque guard just looks so good. And I remember that neck and the feel of that guitar just being so good. And I'm like, this feels like this is going to be a really good guitar. and the same place has a very similar looking guitar in the same color, but different brand, Friedman Vintage T, which is the Friedman T style, but with one humbucker. And I'm things like that. I'm just like, oh, they make me so happy. So maybe that's a sign. It was that or going, I fell down the Japanese rabbit hole.
Right. You fell down the Japanese rabbit hole.
You know, Greco's, Edwards, and then like lawsuit 175s and all that sort of thing. Just like, actually, when you really start to look, there's a lot of cool stuff out there that isn't a Fender or a Gibson.
Yeah, that's the problem though. It's so easy to stay focused on those core brands, but
yeah. So I don't know. I'll take listeners' opinions on certain things. Got a few irons in the fire perhaps, but sort of, it's that time of year.
Yeah,
Papa needs a new guitar.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll keep us posted. We'll see what the big reveal is next week anyway, on after when you're back. JD, let's talk about, well, both of you, let's talk about some guitar shows, because obviously we did the we'll cover some things from the Pedal Expo. But this weekend just gone, JD and I went to the alternative guitar show in the Fighting Cocks in Kingston, a super micro guitar show with just eight brands there. I think it was eight brands that were there. And in a cool little rock and roll pub in sort of the venue area of it. So probably, you know, It's only like 150 cap room, but it was a great way to just actually be able to talk to people and try stuff out, just a little bit more intimate than a guitar show. What were some of your takeaways, JD?
I mean, the first one is that I really enjoyed sort of the format of the show, and that it was just a few brands. There was always plenty of people around, but it never felt like hectic in a way. Like there's lots of people coming and going, so it wasn't people staying for the whole day. A lot of times, you know, I mean, we did, you know, but like there were, you'd see a couple of people walk in, spend, you know, 45 minutes chatting to a few people, leaving. It's just really great to be like, I thought it was really great because it felt really curated. Like it was more of a specific experience for guitars, like sort of similar kind of things happening, and really just got a chance to talk to people in a way that you don't often get to at bigger shows. So like the Birmingham show and like certainly NAMM or anything like that, where you don't get a chance to really just sit down and, you know, like all the brands there walked us through everything, like in minute detail, which is what we want, and great, you know, throughout everything. And like, and it's like, basically, here's all of the guitars I brought. Here's all of the things we get to talk about them, like why they chose this kind of fret wire, why they did this, what, you know, and we got a chance to really ask those questions as opposed to just sort of saying, tell me what's new. What's the, you know, like, what are you excited about? You know, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, because that is a kind of a thing, certainly for us. This, I mean, I guess this might be exclusive to, you know, dear listener, to people who run podcasts and things like that. But when you're at a guitar show, you're kind of trying to catch up with people you know, but you're trying to learn about the new stuff so that you can talk about it on the podcast next week. And if you get too deep into a conversation with someone, you start thinking like, damn, I need to move on because I've got to see the next thing. So actually just having eight brands and being able to sit there and have the builders go through everything on their stand and talk to us, you know, sometimes about a bit more about like brand identity, like, you know, who they are and what they do. It was really nice. It was a really sort of special thing to actually get that at a show.
Yeah. I the other thing I'd say too is like there was like a real, it felt like a real range of sort of people, because like Thorpey was there. Yeah. You know, who are pretty big, certainly in like as British pedal manufacturers, I would say, as an understatement. And then, you know, there is also like smaller brands there who are just getting started, who have only been around for a couple years or have only, you know, like started getting into shows. But also for them, like maybe not spending, you know, a couple grand on a booth at a bigger show, you know, and just being able to really kind of play, you know. And it was great, like, yeah, just seeing everyone, like everyone that was there, and like all the Fidelity guitars, always great to see, and Molyneux, and just the ones, I mean, we'll talk about these in a second, but like it was really great to be able to just like chat to everyone. Like real deep, genuine nerds talking to each other about the thing they care about, you know.
So come on then. So let's do a big takeaway for you from the show, like a brand or a product or a thing that really stood out.
So really, if I had to pick one, I was gonna say I really liked the bass that we played from Zona Guitars. A lot, like, and that was a brand. I think we may have talked about it really, but we saw them at the London show. Last year was the first time, and we got to see that bass that we played again this weekend was one that had just sort of prototyped at the London show, like in the autumn. And then so
it was
like
the Brighton show.
Oh, was it Brighton? I thought, I swear it was London.
Oh, maybe it was.
Because I think, because they were in that weird little back area.
Maybe it was London. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Anyway, I mean, it doesn't matter for story wise, does it? But being able to see it, and there's a couple things we chatted about, and then we, you know, with him, and then we got a chance to talk more about it this show. And he's like, oh, I rewound some pickups and get, you know, just really being able to see like the evolution of stuff come through. But, you know, we both played it. I thought it sounded really great. It played really well. And, you know, I had to look at the name of it, but I think it was...
It was Fenrir.
Yeah, like the...
The wolf that ends the world or whatever.
Yeah. Asgardian Yes, but it was was it 717?
It was 1,700 pounds.
Yeah,
for this bass Dillist. It was kind of like sort of P jazz esque, a little bit of Fidelity stylization, German carve. How very British.
Mm.
But the thing that was interesting about it was that pickup. It was part Music Man and part jazz bass pickup that you can all in one large pickup casing with a roller that you could blend between either having the Music Man side of that pickup, or you could have the jazz side of that pickup, or a blend of the two. So it was just a really interesting, and it's all on just one roller control. You're blending between those two sounds. It was a very interesting thing to be able to do because it had a two-band EQ. I found I could lean into that jazz pickup, boost the low end, and then I could still get all that definition that you get from a jazz bass, but not losing, not, you know, not thinning out like you would if you were to favor the bridge pickup on a Fender Jazz, and, you know, vice versa, you could lean into that Music Man pickup, maybe roll off a little bit at the low end and get just a really good aggressive precision-esque tone.
Yeah, I loved all their guitars too, and then they also do custom pickups, you know, they'll sell the pickups as well. And I remember in some of the guitars, he was talking about how, like, their split coils, they'll have like a Linko 2 on one coil and 3 on another. And then, you know, different switches and stuff to be able to sort of really, really just get loads of tone out of a couple, you know, a couple pickups on a guitar. I think that bass probably was the thing I thought about the most, I think, since the show. Just, I was surprised at really how good it was and how good it sounded. Yeah. So
yeah, it was it was exceptionally good. Yeah, I think my takeaway, the brands that I really enjoyed seeing, and this is only because, you know, Frederick Effects were there, Thorpe Effects are there, Fidelity are there, these are all very well trodden brands for us, but Molyneux were the brands that really stood out to me as like a cool thing at the show. And I'd sort of met them briefly at other shows, but I hadn't had a chance to have a really good chat with them. And I didn't know that actually he was kind of was helped out a lot by Matt Oram from Fidelity Guitars in setting up this business. In fact, Matt finishes all his guitars for him now. He gets them all painted there. And you can see the little nods to Fidelity and things like the dots that he uses, the fretboard inlays are very similar to Fidelity.
I obviously seeing some of these guitars for the first time, I'm really into the minor, I think they call it, M-Y-N-A.
Yeah, the minor.
Starting at 1550, which seems like just, incredible for that. It's just like it's almost like an offset telly, but I think the slightly pointy scratch plate just gives it a little bit of extra feel. And the fact that you can have McNelly or Lola pickups in there, it's just a really cool looking. It's a really cool looking guitar. It's only two pictures. I'm guessing relatively new.
Yeah, it's a new model for him. And it was very much, it was this, if you go onto the website, dear listener, onto molyneuxguitars.com, you'll see the picture of the minor. It's in this gorgeous sort of dark version of Pelham, a less metallic version of Pelham that's a bit darker. It's not really that color, but I'm just as a reference point. It's gorgeous looking. The one that was there was fantastic. He did say it's because he loves offsets and, you know, wanted to make a sort of a T-style guitar. So this is a blend of those things. It was one of those instruments where I was like, wow, that does look really nice. And I picked it up and I expected it to be, you know, good. This is a Telecaster. I love Telecasters. They sound great. But this sounded exceptionally very, very good.
Yeah.
I think it was McNelly's that he had in there, and they were just... Even the neck pickup on it, which was actually what I spent most of my time on, sounded amazing. Yeah. Sounded really good.
Well, like we were all just like, no one uses the neck pickup on a telly, you know? And it's just like, it did sound really good. Like, yeah, it was a great guitar. Also, the scratch plate material on the other one he had was just like that real old celluloid, like tortoise, like one. It was just, it's very good. It's a little more mighty, but like, I was really into it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very cool. The magpie that he had, which, dear listener, you'll see if you check his Instagram out or his website, the magpie is the other body shape, which is kind of more in line with a Jazzmaster, with that very 50s tiger eye torque guard and a vintage white. He had it set up with like a, it's McNelly pickups, and it's those, it's like split wide range humbuckers in the neck and bridge, and then a like a tele neck pickup in the middle, and it had a six-way selector, which I loved. Like the variety of tones you could get from that instrument was remarkable. And again, starting price £2,000, which for an instrument built as well as that, you know, is great.
Yeah, I they're a real shout for new to me guitars that are fantastic and crave worthy.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Matt, before we finish up this podcast, let's talk about something that we're going to carry on over onto the Patreon after this, dear listener, talk about more things from both guitar shows, but talk to me about something that that caught your eye at the Pedal Expo this year.
Yeah, so obviously, I was working for most of it, and I won't bore people with the synth room, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But it was good to wander around, certainly before the show opened and before everyone else, and actually take a look at stuff. And for me, just meet lots of people that perhaps hadn't connected with before that we'd spoke to or spoke about. It was really good speaking to David Ranger again, because, you know, I first spoke to him maybe 12 years ago when he only had one pedal, and I think he basically booked a meeting at GAC, and then no one showed up, so I spoke to him, and I think I bought a pedal off the back of that. I can't remember which one. I think it might have been the standard Frankenstein Fuzz, you know, his very first one at that point. So it was good to reconnect with him. But for me, it was really good to connect with Steve at Audio Kitchen, because obviously we made the Fake Elastic Trees a Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year winner.
Plastic.
And
plastic.
Tastic. Oh, plastic. It is plastic.
Yeah. Did you say elastic? It sounded like
elastic.
I did, because actually the front panel looks like elastic, but it's actually a P. It looks like an E, and I was reading it off the thing. And he was telling me how much people don't realize how much time went into making that particular mod. He said he spent so long, so long doing it. But it was great to see in person, which is something I hadn't really seen properly before, the big trees. So the big trees is their kind of, I think it's an amp, but you can also use it as a drive pedal.
Yeah, that's right. So it's a valve-loaded, you know, pedal amplifier.
Yeah, a Class A amp, which doubles as an incredibly versatile preamp, perfect for home and in the studio. So it was great to see that and then just connect with him. But I was like, do you ever have a demo model of the Little Chopper, which is the amp they make? So I'm like, that is the amp that I really want to try. That's the thing that's really stuck out to me. They had, Joe, I believe, because you were going to talk about it or mentioned it, they had their amp there as well. Was it called, do you say it was called the Wood?
It's called Wood, and it's actually, it's a cabinet, but it's designed to fit the big trees. I mean, their tagline is the big trees needed to live in a wood. This is it. So it is a gorgeous crafted wooden 112 cab that you can load the big trees pedal amplifier into the top of. It has a lovely little cutout for it, so it nestles in there perfectly, and then you have you know, a complete amplifier if you want to just have your big trees as your amp, which is great. I love it. I think it's really cool. And actually, you know, it's something like it's like £900 for the cabinet, and I think the same for the big trees. And I think for something that is as boutique built as this, there are a lot more expensive things out there than that. It's very cool indeed.
Yeah. So that was, it was, you know, I would say lots of things that I'd perhaps seen or we talked about before. Or I guess one other thing, just very quickly, because we did touch upon it with the, when we were talking about multi effects, but great Eastern Also having their new pedal, which I think, is it called the Crossover, Joe? You're going to have to remind me.
The XO, I think, is probably what it would be called, yeah.
Which was a prototype they had there, which was basically a effects loop crossover. So I think it allowed you to have two effects loops that you could then mix between using controls on the front. I'm just going to bring up a picture of it because I don't want to get it wrong because it's obviously quite new. XO variable crossover is what it is called. So yeah, basically you've got a high pedal send and a low pedal, high pedal send and return, low pedal send and return, and then you've got a crossover frequency that you can then set. So you can basically have two different drives or whatever, and then you can have those and mix those in, which I think is quite cool. And again, it's not something you really get in a guitar pedal. No, I said the only thing that's close is what's in things like the GT1000 or 1000 core, but that's more dynamics rather than frequency based.
Yeah, this is super cool. Like JD picked one up at the Birmingham show, and we spoke about it in depth on our podcast a few weeks ago. Blake got one as well, and so Blake did a demo on it on the podcast last week as well. And you know, it's something that you've independently noticed as well. So I thought, and also Stefan from Guitar Pedal X made it the pedal of his favorite pedal from the. From Stompbox Deli. So it's obviously people are noticing that this is a really cool, interesting thing. I think David's done a really great job with it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just so much coming out of Great Eastern, which we've been talking about for a few years. And also great to meet David and realize that he doesn't live that far away from where I live. So we said we'd go and visit at some point.
Yeah, we'll do that. I've got to go up there. I've got to make all the videos for the XO over the next couple of weeks. It comes out on like the somethingth of April.
10th of April,
that's
I believe.
That's the one, yeah, 10th of April. So I've got to get my act together and film those, dear listener. So but we'll see. Yeah. It's going to be good.
No, it's definitely cool. I think for drives, that's going to be a really cool thing. Taking the highs of one, the lows of another, crossing them over, you know, coming up with a whole bunch of new parallel. Because there's parallel switch boxes and a bunch of stuff out there, but this is kind of very, very
being
different
to
that.
Shape those, I think, is a...
Yeah.
Indeed.
It's going to be very cool. Now, dear listener, that is about all the time we have on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. So Matt, JD and I are going to head over to Patreon. We're going to be talking about more of the brands from the last couple of guitar shows, things that we think you should be checking out. If you want to head over there, you can patreon.com/guitarnerds. You can become a supporter for as little as $1 a month, although there are several tiers. I'm going to thank our top tier supporters, our $10 tier backers, because they're all such wonderful folks. So thank you very much to Stefan Carlson, to Nicholas Strom, Rocket Rob Patterson, Phil Sadler, Marcus Deluxe, Suresh, Dorsonic Pickups, Rob Witherden, Anton Fryant, Barry Gresbick, Steve Davis, John Conaway, Yogi the Guitarist, Ty Allen, Kyle Harris, Sean Hughes, Andy Hoffler, Eric Hemmer, Jeffrey Wax, Dan Pilver, Brian Einsler, Dylan Griffiths, Mark Hizau Kadawaki, Eric File, Peter Peche, Chris Franklin, Andy Manley, Joe Puttick, Blake Wyland, Phil Radomski, Dave Lee, Ross Edwards, Jason Wharton, James Dorr, Jake Gray, Derek Rich, Scott Kennedy, Steve Merkel, Abe Matthews, Christopher Losef, Stephen Burke, Robin Smith, Kytopia the Band, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Rob Nordvik, Scott O'Brien, and of course, Moog Gravett. Thank you. Thank you very much, everyone. Now, we're going to head over onto the Patreon. We'll see you there. Thanks very much for listening and watching. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Goodbye.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.